1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 will be the beginning of our study this morning. I apologize in advance. If the slides don't match what I'm saying, it's not their fault. It's my fault. Every time I've prepared this message and every time I look at it, the Lord adds something else and something else and something else. And finally, I just have kind of come to the point of, okay, slides don't matter. We're just going to preach what God gives, right? And so just be aware of that, okay? We're only going to go through the first five verses of verse 14, or chapter 14 this morning. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, and we pray for your guidance in this message, that your word be spoken, and that your will be done in the life of everyone hearing this message today. We praise you for all things, Heavenly Father, but most of all for giving your Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sin. And we rejoice in the knowledge of knowing that all who call upon the name of your Son will be saved. Now, Father, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, the setting in chapter 14 is as before. The setting here that Paul is referring to is, it's that church meeting setting, like this, okay? When you come together mentality. And the point of that, you ever ask yourself the question, why? Why do we come together? Why do we give up our time and our efforts and come together like this? Well, there is a reason. And you say, well, that's to glorify God. Okay, yeah, you're right, but what else? We're going to find that out this morning. It is deeper than just simply coming to worship. You see, that's what Paul is trying to set in order at the Church of Corinth. And the one thing that was needed at the Church of Corinth above everything else was the gift of love. Paul keeps repeating himself, and you may think, oh, no, not love again today. But as long as Paul repeats himself, I'm going to follow, okay? Feel like I'm in good company? And Paul keeps hammering love, 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 love throughout these chapters. And this is no exception. As he opens chapter 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love. The idea there is to have a devotion. That word pursue, it literally means to run for or run after. Men, when you were dating, you pursued your wife. Right? When we watch something, we pursue that something, whatever it is. That's what Paul's saying here. Make love the priority. The love, not just a world love, but the love, a God love. This is what we strive for, what we're, it's our motivation that everything that we do be motivated by love. As a believer, and I've given you this before, but I'm going to tell you again, if you're not loving, something's wrong. I want to make that statement again. If you're not loving, I'm talking about the love, godly love, something's wrong. And Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there. If you are a believer, it is there. The love of God is there. And that has to be the foundation of everything you as a believer do. You do it because of the love that we've been talking about. Before you speak, you have to ask yourself, are my words words of love? Before you act, whatever your action may be, you've got to ask yourself the question, are my actions motivated by love? If not, we're wasting our time. We're just wasting our time. Back in the book of 1 Corinthians, the previous chapter, chapter 13, I want to read this to you again. But verse 1, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. You can come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You can teach classes. You can minister however you want to minister. But if it's not motivated and founded upon love, it is of no value to you or the people you're ministering to. It's the foundation. That's why Paul said, pursue it. Oh, I love where we are as a church right now. God's opening doors right now. But I want you to understand the doors that are being opened have to be walked through because of the love that we have through Jesus Christ. For example, college, we've started the fundraiser for the college ministry, college building. Oh, I'm excited about that. You say, Brother Doug, why do we need a college building? We want to expand our college ministry. We want to be able to provide students, college students, with a safe place to come and be in fellowship with like-minded people. We want to make disciples out of college students so that when they leave this college, they'll make a difference wherever they go. It's not about a building. It's about lives. That's the point. And I'm not campaigning for college. We can build all the buildings in the world, and if the foundation of that building is not love, it is useless. Same way with here, where we're praying about and reviewing plans for expansion of Sunday school space and a fellowship hall. Wonderful! What a wonderful, nice building it is and that the plans have been made for. But you understand, it's not about a building. It's about making disciples. It's about looking at people and looking at their lives and realizing you need Jesus in your life. It's about looking at other believers and saying you need to grow in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're going to build something where we can promote and make more disciples. That's the idea behind everything that we do. That's the why. It's because we love God and love people. Listen, this applies to every ministry, not just building ministries. This applies to every ministry that's in this church, that each individual in this church does. If it's not motivated by love for God and a love for people, it's useless. The key is, and humor me for just a moment. Can you humor me for just a moment? I want to tell you this, and I'm telling you this because I love you. But you cannot share something you do not have. If you're not loving people today, there is a spiritual problem within you. That problem, first of all, may be because you're not saved. Now, I'm not pointing a finger and I'm not accusing anybody of anything. This is between you and God. But here's what I do know. When I'm acting under the direction of God, the Holy Spirit, love comes through me and spills over onto other people. That's just the way it works. We've heard that old song, Lord, make me a channel of blessing. We don't want to be some tank somewhere or some pond that it just goes into and never comes out of. We want to be that channel of blessing. Yes, we want God's blessing on us, but we want it to flow onto others. If that love is not there in you, I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you ever truly given your life to Jesus Christ? Not have you walked down the aisle, not have you been dunked in a baptistry, not have you went through a motion, but have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Sometimes I'm concerned because we focus or we seem to emphasize, well, just accept Jesus into your heart. And yes, that's what you do, but you have to understand it's not just an acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. It is a giving you into the hands of Jesus to be used for His glory. It is a life dedication and commitment. It's not just a religious activity. And when that's there, when you have given your life to Jesus Christ, there is a love inside of you that has been poured out by God Himself through His Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not loving, could be because you're not saved. You need to take care of that. Number two, it could be you're just plain old-fashioned backslidden. You know, Christians do that, don't we? Been here more than once. It's preacher confession time. I've been here more than once. Much like the church at Ephesus who left their first love, or they left the love they had at the first. Listen. Before Dale leads us in music, he has to love. Before the choir sings, they have to love. Before I preach, I have to love. Before we do anything, we have to love. Why is love so important? John 13:35. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When people walk through that door, I've heard it time and time again, there's something special about this place. What is it that makes it special? It is that spirit of love that saturates this membership. We've got to hold on to that. Today I want to remind you, we got to recognize that and appreciate that. And what I mean is you are surrounded by love here this morning. Okay? Do you realize that? I mean, it's so easy to come to church and to sing and all that's wonderful. But this morning I just want you to stop and appreciate what's surrounding you here today. You are surrounded by people who really do care about you. You are surrounded by people who really do love Jesus Christ. You're surrounded by teachers who Sunday after Sunday will teach their Bible studies. You know why they teach? Because they love you. You're surrounded by pastors who faithfully serve throughout the week as well as on Sunday. You know why we do that? Because we love you. You're surrounded by choir members who sing, orchestra who plays, others who use their talents. Why do they do that? They do that because they love the Lord and they love you. Sometimes I'm afraid we forget that. If you're here today, you're loved. You are. Okay? You need to get that message. Do you get that? If you're here today, we love you. Somebody got to say amen to that because we're not going any farther. I can't get to the next part till we get this part. Right? If you're here today, you're surrounded by people who love you. Amen. And you are surrounded by a people who are going to use the gifts that God has given them to demonstrate that love to you and promote your spiritual growth, which takes us to the next point. Paul said, pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. Oh, this is where, well, it is what it is. At the church at Corinth, there was popular spiritual gifts and there was not so popular spiritual gifts. They were a little bit, you're familiar with the term fads? Not unlike we are, right? Well, see, the fad in the church at Corinth at this time was that everybody wanted the gift of tongues. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. That was the most popular gift. However, that was not the most profitable gift. The reason they wanted to speak with tongues is because it drew attention to themselves. And people would look and say, wow, look at that person. If that's your motivation, oh, listen, you're in trouble, okay? It's not about you, it's about God. It's about you loving people, which means it's about other people, right? But I want you to understand, in that day, according to history, there were two types of tongues. Okay? Number one, there was a mindless jabber where people would run around, get into a frenzy, jump, skip, hop, and get all lathered up and finally roll around in the floors and jabber something that was just not understandable. Where did that come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, it came from the idol worship of that day. They were all trying to reach that point of ecstasy. That point where they departed themselves and were under the control of something else. And so that was pretty common in idol worship. They'd run around, jump around, and pass out and jabber unintelligible words. It was false worship. Now the problem was, the church at Corinth wanted to be exciting like they were down at the idol temple, right? And so that false worship snuck into the church. They brought that in and they began to do that in the church at Corinth. And Paul's whole point here in 13 and 14 is no. You see, when Paul says in verse 2, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God," that's not a compliment. It's not. As a matter of fact, as you read throughout the remainder of this, he's saying, you know, tongues should profit somebody, not just be some unintelligible word that makes you the center of attention. That's what he's trying to get across. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, once again, when he says, he does not speak to men, but to God. That phrase, to God, is not the God. It's missing the definite article in the Greek. It is rather a God. That the person who's just jabbering is not speaking to men or for men for the benefit of men. They are speaking to a God. A what kind of God? A false God. God is not the author of confusion. God does not promote that behavior in the church. There's never a New Testament example where people were running around, falling out in the floor, and jabbering unintelligible words. There, it does not exist. It's not there. You say, well, Brother Doug, what about unknown tongues? Every place the word unknown was used before tongues, everywhere in the Bible, that word is in italics, which means it was added by the translators for clarity. That was a bad addition. It didn't make it any more clear. Tongues was never intended to be abused in that manner or used in that manner, right? And the same thing has infiltrated into the modern churches. And it's become that, you know, people are seeking that mindless loss of control and nowhere in the Bible was that ever done. Well, you say, Brother Doug, what about on the day of Pentecost? I'm glad you ask, okay? You go back to Acts chapter 2 and you read Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost and you will realize that the tongues spoken on that day, they were speaking real languages and people were hearing the gospel message in their own language. Yeah? That was the point of tongues. And tongues were a very real gift. They were the ability given to men to speak a language that they were not trained in so that people could hear the gospel in their own language. That was the point of tongues. And tongues were always, listen, tongues were always used as a tool to win the lost. It was, every time, it was in that setting of winning people to the Lord. That's what the gift of tongues were for. As a matter of fact, look in this same chapter, chapter 14, I want to read verse 22. Okay? Verse 22 says, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. That's pretty plain, is it not? Tongues were a sign for unbelievers. What? So they could hear the message in their own language, and they knew these guys were not trained in their language, so it was a verification that these guys were sent of God. And we went over that last week and the week before, so encourage you if you can go back and listen to that if you like, right? And listen, I'm not bashing. And some people say, "Well, Brother Doug, you know, you shouldn't bash other religions." I'm not. I'm simply stating a Bible truth. Okay? And Bible truth is Bible truth. Has nothing to do with denomination. You can call yourself a Baptist and be wrong. Amen? You see, everything that is in this book is right. We go on. Tongues were not the... And see, when they were bringing tongues in, it wasn't for the profit and of the church. But there was a gift that was for the profit of church. It was a profitable gift of prophecy. Now, understand that word prophecy. It was when a man was given a message directly from God, and he would speak that message to other people because they didn't have any way of knowing God's message before that happened, right? Oftentimes it was futuristic. It was dealing with the future. But we do not have prophets today. I know that you hear over and over, you know, and preachers call themselves, "Well, I'm prophet so-and-so." No, you're not. No, you're not. How do I know? I know that God has given His Word to us right here. There's nothing to add to. There's nothing to take away from. There's not some hidden message that we hadn't got yet. It's all here. Okay? That's why in chapter 13 he says, where there are prophecies, they will fail. Because it won't be needed when the church comes to the point of having the Word of God. We don't need prophets. Today's preachers, you say, "Brother Doug, what about you?" No, I am not. I'm like other preachers. I sit in my office. I study the Word of God. Under the leadership and guidance of the Spirit of God, yes, absolutely. I want God's guidance as I prepare, but God has never spoken to me and revealed to me some unknown message that man has never had before. That's the way He did with prophets, because they did not have the Word of, they did not have the finished Bible, the Word of God. But Paul brings a principle here. Even though we don't have prophets today, there's the principle of profitability. Okay? And that is spiritual gifts being used for the benefit of the brethren. That's what a spiritual gift is all about. And that's what he says in the last part of what we read this morning. In verse 3, he describes prophecy as being this gift that edifies. Do you realize when you use your spiritual gift, I should be better? It should promote my growth in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Come on, give me an amen if you understand that. That's your responsibility. Your responsibility. You say, "Oh, well, hey, Brother Doug, you're the pastor. You're supposed to promote my growth." Yes, we both, but it's a two-way street. You promote my growth, spiritually speaking, I promote your growth, spiritually speaking. Or the way I look at it, it should start with me, you know? And there should be an exchange there. Why? Because gifts are for the edification, the building up, the growing of God's people. You understand that's what church is about? That's why you come to church. You come to church to grow because there are people here that can minister to you and promote your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about when he says it's the edification. And for exhortation. You know what that word exhortation means? It means to comfort. I want to tell you something. There are people here today who need comfort. There are people here today that are facing disappointment. They're facing challenges they've never faced before. There's all kinds of trouble that people that are probably sitting next to you that you have no idea what they're facing. However, they need a comforting, encouraging word from you. That's what your spiritual gift is about. Make them better because they were in your presence today. He said edification, exhortation, and comfort, the act of giving relief. Listen, you understand this. Paul's whole point is the goal of every spiritual gift in the church today is to build up the body of Christ. That's it. Somebody else is better because you're here is the concept, right? Somebody else is better because you're here. And that day, they needed that. You realize, in that day, what we're talking about, we're dealing with people who lost everything because they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They'd lose their home. They'd lose their property. They would be persecuted. They had to meet secretly for fear of death. So when they came together, the one thing they needed was to be made spiritually stronger. They needed encouragement. They needed people to put their arm around them and say, yes, it's tough now, but Jesus has gone to prepare a place eternal in the heavens for us. Stay the course, brother. Stay the course, sister. You've got a bright future even though the present doesn't look so great. That's what they needed to hear. Do you realize there are people who still need to hear that message? It amazes me how much people are hurting today. And I say amazes me. Maybe the better word would be surprised. Because you can just live your own life oblivious to what's going on around you. When the fact is, people are hurting. College students are hurting. They're afraid. They're dealing with things that you and I hadn't even thought of yet. You know what they need? They need somebody to put their arms around them. Say, look, I love you. Hang in there. We're going to be beside you. We're here for you. We're going to help you along the way. But it's not just college students. You know, our senior saints need the same thing. I've heard several times, getting older is not for sissies. I wouldn't know because I'm not there yet. Just kidding. But you know, even the senior saints, they need that encouragement. And I'll tell you what happens. Oftentimes we think, well, you know, they've got their group and we just, you know, they do their thing and others do their thing. No. You know what would bless the heart of a senior saint? It's when a young person, college student, oh, here you go. Everybody gets to participate. Comes up to them and just puts their arm around and say, I love you. Thank you so much for being an example. You know what that, I mean, that sort of thing matters. They need to be told, hey, I appreciate you. You have served the Lord for years. You have a wonderful testimony. And I just want you to know it's encouraging to see who you are. You see, that's what I want us to all understand at this point. God has put you here to make a difference. And so many times I think people have the opinion of themselves, well, you know, I can't do anything. I can't make a difference. I'm too young. I'm too old. No. If you draw a breath, God is giving you that breath to make a difference in the lives of other people. Okay? So the challenge is this. Be profitable. No, you're not a prophet. No, you're not going to speak in tongues, but you can encourage. You can comfort. You can be a blessing. You can help those who need help. You can ensure the growth of the people around you. It does not matter. You may be a new Christian. That's okay. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to help other people grow. You just need to learn how to encourage. If you're here today, I want you to take from this message that God's not through with you. Okay? God's not through with you. If He were through with you, guess what? You'd go to heaven. He's not done. What are you supposed to do? You do not have to have some church title of I'm a deacon or I'm an usher or I'm a... You don't have to have some title, but you do need to understand your role. And your role is to assist and encourage in the spiritual development of the people around you any way you can. Whether it's that word of encouragement, whether it's that word of I love you, whatever it is, you be that individual that edifies the church. Have you ever seen a house that nobody lived in? And you watch over a period of time as that house just kind of goes downhill. Paint starts to peel, roof starts to leak. And the question is, nobody's living there. Why is it going downhill? Nobody's wearing it out. Nobody's using it. Well, the reason it's going downhill is because nobody's living there. It suffers from neglect. You see, if you don't live there and you don't do those little projects along the way, it'll just gradually go down. I want to tell you, I want to challenge you. Don't be that neglectful person that neglects the spiritual growth of other people. There's plenty of people who need to be encouraged. There's plenty of people who need that person to wrap their arms around them. See, the same thing can happen to God's church. And this is just a statement. This isn't an accusation. If we neglect, God's church will become run down. Oh, but if we take care of the body of Christ, there's no telling where this church will be 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. Let's not be that neglectful disciple. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, this is your body. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that we're here to love. We're here to make a difference. We're here to encourage the spiritual growth of everybody around us. Oftentimes, we just kind of cruise through without even noticing, Lord. So today, I pray that you would just light a fire in the hearts of every member of Victory. That, Lord, we will be passionate about the spiritual growth of other people. That we will be passionate about comforting, about encouraging, about helping all the membership of Victory, all the brethren, and not just limit it to the members of Victory, but our community. Help us, Lord, to be identifiable so that the world can see that by our love that we have for one another, we are your disciples. Now, Lord, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.